We are grateful that each of you is here this morning. We're especially thankful to see Sister Sue Bean able to be back with us today after having had surgery. The difficult events of this past week point out to us how much we need each other and how much we need God. And I hope that it will make us even more aware of how important it is for us to come together in assemblies like this to, first of all, worship God, but also to teach and admonish and encourage each other. And we are glad that you are here. Tomorrow is listed on our calendar as Labor Day. Most of us have been talking about this is Labor Weekend. I began to think about Thursday night that Judy might be the only one here to whom I would preach today. As I started calling people and asking for those who would participate in the worship service, I think I must have made at least 10 or 15 calls where people said we're going to be out of town. And this is one of the weekends that so many of our members travel, but as I look over the audience, I see that we are balanced out by so many of you that are visiting with us. And wherever we are today, wherever people are today worshiping God, it is so important. I'd like this morning for us to think about the subject of works. That's the plural of the word work, of course. I think the times in which we are living, especially what's happening in the last few months, point out to us how much of an opportunity it is for us to be able to work and to labor. We have more people out of work right now than we've had in recent months. Even in our own midst, we have those who have lost jobs because of the situation that exists. Others maybe who are not able to work as much as they would like to or maybe even need to in order to support the family. We have become aware, perhaps a bit more than in usual times, of the fact that work is not just a duty, but it is an opportunity. And I hope that as we think about Labor Day tomorrow, think about our country and the privileges and the blessings that we have here, that we will be reminded of that. But let's put an S on that word and think about it for a few minutes this morning, particularly from the text that was read. You may have noticed as he read that it is said in verse 9 that our salvation is not of works. And yet it is said in verse 10 that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. Someone might read these verses and say, it seems that there is a conflict here. The subject before us, no doubt, is man's salvation. Look at verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. The subject of salvation is being discussed, and almost immediately he says, it's not of works. And then he turns right around and says, we're created unto good works. Is there a contradiction? I don't think so. And I believe an analysis of this passage and then reaching out to look at other passages on the same subject will help us to put this in proper focus. First, consider the statement that our salvation is not of works. What kind of works are being mentioned here? You are well aware that a word may be used in different ways. For example, the word fast, F-A-S-T, might mean going without food. And you may be surprised that I even understand that definition. It might mean the speed of a horse. It might be used to say that something is nailed fast to the wall. And sometimes I hear the word fast used to describe a person with loose morals. And so just to look at that word FAST would not tell us exactly what it means or how it is being used, such is the case with the word works. And that is the answer to the question, is there a conflict here? The answer is that the word works may mean one thing in one place and something else in another place. In fact, the word works is used in this text today in at least two different ways. Not of works. What's he talking about? Well, if you'll notice, he says there that this salvation, verse 8, is not of yourselves. And notice also that he says it is a gift of God. And the works that he's talking about are works wherein a man would boast, verse 9. Well, it's not hard to put all of that together and see that he is talking here about works of merit. Works wherein a person would be able to provide his own way of salvation. That he would be able to merit his salvation by doing a certain number of good works and then handing that in to God and getting a report card. And getting a grade on it that would be a passing grade and then be able to go to heaven because he had passed the test of having done so many works in this life. He says man's not saved in that way. The word gift gives us an idea here relative to this point. He says that our salvation is the gift of God. A gift is not something that you earn. A gift is not something that you buy. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Savior, came to this world not because we deserved him, but because of the grace of God, as pointed out in this passage. For by grace are you saved. And since Jesus was given to us as a gift, when we receive him as a gift, that means that we could not earn him and we could not pay for him. We could not have enough money or enough of this world's possessions to pay the cost that God paid for us through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Paul is saying, you need to understand that salvation is a gift. And there is no way that you could have paid for it. There is no way that you could have earned it. Like the good moral man thinks he can just by being a good person and never becoming a Christian. He says there's no way that works can save you in that sense because salvation is a gift. Further, he helps us to understand the works being talked about here by using the word boast. There is a tendency on the part of all of us, more so on the part of some of us, to brag about what we are able to do. And sometimes the one who is able to accomplish the least seems capable of boasting the most. But I would guess that all of us have to fight this point because it's just human nature to want to say, I did that. Look at what I did. Look at what I accomplished. And if we're not careful, as we even consider what we do as Christians in our service to one another and through this to God, it will be easy for us to even think for ourselves and express to others in a boastful manner, look what I did. So what? He says you're not going to have salvation because of your boastful works. Even if you visit someone who's hurting every day, and even if you were to bring someone to Christ every day, you still haven't done anything about which you deserve to boast compared to what Jesus did. And so he says, we're not saved of works of that nature. There is no way that we can earn our salvation. It is also interesting that there are other uses of the word works by which we are not saved. Just in passing, think of the word used as the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. Certainly, we're not saved by the works of the flesh. And then consider in Galatians 2:16 where he says, we are not justified by the works of the law. This was the reason Jesus needed to come. This was the reason those under the old law had to offer sacrifices looking forward to the time that Jesus would come, because there was no way that a person could be saved under the old law by his works unless he kept them to perfection, and no one other than the Son of God ever did that. So we are not saved by the works of the law. We're not justified by the works of the law, but by Jesus Christ, as indicated in that passage. It is also interesting to note that we are not saved by works that are miraculous. Jesus noted, among other things, in John 5, particularly at verse 36, that his works were there to prove that he was the Son of God. This evidently is talking about his signs and wonders and miracles that he performed. And along with other points, he said, here is the proof that I'm the Son of God. But in reference to those works in John 14:12, after mentioning his miraculous works, he said to his followers, greater works than these shall ye do. Showing that there was something involved in their teaching and bringing people to believe in Jesus Christ, and indicated that it's not by these miraculous works that man's going to be saved. And you will not find a case in the book of Acts amongst the 9 detailed examples of salvation or conversion to salvation where a man was saved by miraculous works. There were miracles there that caught their attention. But in every case, there was the teaching of God's word. There is not a case where the salvation came about by miraculous works. So when he says here in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, he's saying we are not saved by works of merit. We are not saved by a summation of works that would attempt to pay the price. And then we've added to that that we are not saved by works of the flesh. We are not saved by works of the old law. And we are not even saved by miraculous works. So it's evident that this statement, not of works, is so true. And I think we can understand what he's saying. But he comes right back in verse 10 and says, for we are his workmanship. There's the word work in that. But he especially says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. How important is this? Which God has ordained from God that we should do what? That we should walk in them. What's the antecedent of them? Works. And so we have it said that God has ordained, he has commanded, he has appointed the fact that we are to walk in good works. Well, what is he talking about here? Let's just look at what the Bible has to say in a few passages. First, going to James chapter 2. Which probably has more to say about works in connection with faith. And remember, saved by grace through faith, there in Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 17, James 2. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 20, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified. Now wait a minute. We saw a verse a few minutes ago says we're not justified by works. You see how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? What's he talking about? He's talking about the good works there in verse 10 of Ephesians 2. Not the works of boasting back in verses 8 and 9. There in verses 8, 9, and 10 of Ephesians 2, he ties works to grace and faith and points out that works of merit would conflict with the grace and faith, but works of service do not. And so here James gives a very detailed discussion on how God has ordained these good works that are tied to faith. I think there's a key also there in Ephesians 2, verse 10, when he uses the word walk. He says we are created unto good works. God has ordained that we should walk in them. That's another way of saying that this is a specific way of life. The book of Titus particularly emphasizes works and puts them into proper focus for us. For example, in Titus 2, verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Well, you just see service oozing out from that verse all over it. A pattern of good works. Verse 14, talking about Jesus who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. God is telling us that we ought to be enthusiastically involved in good works, though there's a type of works by which we are not saved. There is a type of works about which we ought to be zealous. Chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now that sort of, again, reminds us of that statement God has ordained. We need to be ready to every good work. Why would he tell us to be ready to do something that's not important? Then in verse 8, this is a faithful saying, these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, there's the faith, might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Verse 14, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Oh, there's no question that God has ordained that we should walk in good works. That's a way of life. I think right here in the middle of this discussion in chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13, that we have it sort of summed up for us. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now that just puts it in focus. He says you need to understand that it is by grace that salvation is brought, not by man's works of merit, as we have discussed in Ephesians 2. But you also need to understand that even the grace teaches, and the subject of the teaching here is the grace of God. The grace of God, which bringeth salvation, the grace of God teaches us to do what? Quit doing the wrong and start doing the right. A way of life. Good works of service. Right in the middle of five passages in the book of Titus where he talks about a pattern of good works, zealous of good works, ready to good works, and to maintain good works, the latter of the four being mentioned twice in the third chapter. So we see that God has ordained and that works describe the way of life that a man is to live. You know, it amazes me to hear some people say works are unimportant. There's nothing that we can do that has to do with our salvation. And I recognize that there is nothing that we have done to make salvation possible. It's entirely by the grace of God that salvation is offered. That's the gift that's being talked about. The offer becomes a gift when we accept it through faith and obedience. But how can anybody say that works are not involved when the judgment scene of Revelation 20 says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Next verse. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell," or Hades, "delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." How dare anybody say that works are not involved in our salvation? But when you look at all of these passages, even remember that blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors and their works do follow them, Revelation 14, 13. You're then able to put this in focus. First, notice, we are not saved by works of merit. We are not saved by works wherein we boast. We are not saved by works of the law. We are not saved by miraculous deeds. But we are saved by works of service and obedience, which become a way of life. In accepting what God offers and then living as He has ordained and coming to the day of judgment where God can look at our lives, not that we have earned salvation, but that our lives have been full of good works to take advantage of that salvation which is offered, and to reach out and be of service, works of service and obedience. Works of service to mankind and works of obedience to God, taking advantage of what He makes available. Are we saved by works? No. If you're talking about earning salvation. Are we saved by works? Yes. If you're talking about those good works which God has ordained. Because you see, when you add all this up, it just fits together. Here is the grace of God that reaches down. Man didn't deserve salvation. God didn't owe him anything. But He reaches down with His grace toward man. Man sees that and reaches up with his faith. And by his obedience puts that faith together with the grace of God and seals the plan of salvation, which is the gift of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Faith is even described as a work of God in John 6. When you and I have faith in God, that's effort on our part to reach out to God. When we are penitent, confess the name of Jesus Christ, when we are buried with Him in baptism, that's obedience, that's doing what God has ordained, that's effort on our part, not saved by what we are doing, but by what God is doing at that point, but taking advantage of it by obedience to His will. And then when we live for Him each day in worship and service, we're involved in a life of good works, not to earn, but to take advantage of the grace of God. If you come this morning and are baptized into Jesus Christ, you're not earning your salvation, but it is necessary for you to do that to accept it. If you live for Jesus each day, and when you make mistakes, you ask for forgiveness, you're not earning your salvation, but it is necessary for you to take advantage of that which God makes available. You cannot be saved by your works of merit, but you cannot be saved without your works of obedience and service. If you have not obeyed the gospel, won't you come as together we stand and sing?